I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest tonight is Dr. Geronimo Rubio, who is the medical director of the Rubio Cancer Center in La Mesa, Mexico. Dr. Rubio received his medical education at the University of Autonomous Dayaha, California Medical School in Mexico. During his studies, he carried out research in the departments of physiology, biochemistry, and parasitology, and discovered that flowers brought into the hospital rooms were infecting patients with bacterial strains of Pseudomonas aeruginosa. He later carried out research in the fields of virus and fungal infections of the lung and diarrhea complications of the Encenda Indian tribe. For the past 25 years, Dr. Rubio has researched and developed a process of RNA transfer in leukocytes, polypeptide formula for cancer cells, and developed the formula for the blocking factor in tumor cells. Currently, he combines special immune vaccines with RIF technology and herbal medicine. More information is available at www.rubiocancercenter.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Geronimo, and I look forward to hearing more about immunotherapy. First, you have used immunotherapy successfully with cancer patients. Will you tell us about this therapy?
Yes, of course, Dr. Carl. You know, immunotherapy is an approach I've been working for the last 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my best approach for dealing with cancer work with your own immune system to see, to attack and destroy cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
So our immune system that we have, you know, we have it there. It's a tool that God gave it to us to use against cancer, not only against bacteria, fungus, or parasites or viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the skills to make this vaccine against the cancer cells. I've been working hard with five different type of vaccines
mm-hmm.
in these 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
One of my vaccines works very well. You know, we call it a passive vaccine. And the passive vaccine are, you know, RNA transfer of the lymphocyte. So like I do, I give the information from one lymphocyte to another lymphocyte
mm-hmm.
to go to attack the cancer. The way they do this vaccine, like I do, for example, the patient has like a melanoma, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the melanoma, they have a lump or they have the mole. We can get cells with a little biopsy there.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we cannot get the cancer cells, we can draw blood. Because in the blood, we catch the antigens of the cancer cells. Or we can use the urine, like in brain tumors, to collect the proteins, okay, or the antigens.
Mm-hmm.
These antigens or these cancer cells, from the patient, like I do outside of the body of the patient, in
mm-hmm.
a little box that we call Petri dish,
mm-hmm.
we put the cancer cells, and we allow the cancer cells to grow. But very important,
mm-hmm.
the cancer cells, they are very smart, and they don't like to be detected. So, like they do, they perform like a protein coating or protein shield or camouflage. They don't allow the immune system to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step that we need to do, because the cancer cell has this protein, we need to use a specific enzyme that we call telomerase, and this enzyme will break the protein of the cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And after they broke the cancer cell's protein, they will be exposed like a receptor. Okay, and now we allow the cancer cells to grow in this little petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
Next step that we do, we draw more blood from the own patient, and from the blood of the patient, we withdraw the white cells, specifically the T cells, because they are the killer cells, and these T cells, we are going to put with the cancer cells are growing, but now the T cells, we'll see the tumor without any protection.
Mm-hmm.
like a receptor, and immediately they will attack, they will destroy. And when they destroy the cancer and the petri dish, they will get memory to destroy the cancer in the future. These vaccines grow approximately 4 to 7 days. In the meantime, of the patient, we put a central line, and central line we apply every day the enzyme. The enzyme going to be, for example, if the patient has melanoma, which is present in the lungs and the bones and the liver, this enzyme going to be to these organs, and they will start breaking the protein of the cancer. And they will make like a perforation, and they will make a receptor. In 1 week, like we do in my lab, I draw the T cells with the new memory, and with an IV drip, we apply the T cells with the memory to attack the cancer to the patient. Immediately, the T cells will look for these receptors, and they will come, and they will start attacking and destroying the cancer. The most important about this vaccine, Carl, when these T cells kill the cancer, now they will send signals. They will perform like a dendritic cell of signals to send to the own bone marrow of the patient, and they will say to the bone marrow, now I find this alien, this protein, this antigen happening. So the bone marrow will copy the T cells, and they will perform millions and billions T cells to go and attack the cancer cells. So this vaccine is very effective in any kind of tumor, solid tumors, in adenocarcinomas, small cells, lymphomas, any type of cancer. It's very, very good.
Now, there were some other vaccines that you use?
Yes, of course. Another vaccine that we work, you know, it's like a generic. We work with a, we call the dendritic cell vaccine. And the dendritic cell vaccine, like we do, you know, we collect blood from the patient. And with the blood of the patient, we grow the monocytes. It's a white cell, part of the immune system. And we add different cytokines. We call cytokines, you know, like interleukin-4, and GCH is like a growth stimulation of the white cells. And the monocyte will perform and make a dendritic. Dendritic is like a signal, okay? And this signal will travel from the monocyte to the T cells to go and attack the cancer cells. Okay? So and this vaccine is very general, but works very good in different types of cancers too, okay? Other vaccines that we work, we call active vaccine in solid tumors, like a neck cancer, like a sarcoma, okay, also melanoma, and lymphoma. The way I do it, I draw a little piece of the tumor from the patient. This tumor outside of the body, like we do, I combine the tumor with lipids and interleukin, and we apply back under the skin to the patient, okay, quickly. When we apply the interleukin plus the tumor, in under the skin, we are going to make in the body an inflammatory reaction. We are going to attract the monocytes. The monocytes is the first line of the white cell. They will call the T cells as the complement, and the three together, they will kill the cancer in situ. When they kill it off, now the T cells will start learning and the complement about these types of tumors for the future to cure. So it's another vaccine, okay?
Now, you use the vaccines in combination with chemotherapy and radiation?
Yes, of course. The vaccine, you know, the use of the chemotherapy, the use of the radiation, you know, we use this way. Always through the patients, through my patients, I say this. When we, for example, when the patient develops a tumor, the tumor makes billions and billions of the cancer cells. And our immune system only can go through 10 billion cells. So we need to be smart, and we need to drop the amount of cells minimum to 10 billion or less of 10 billion to give more opportunity to the immune system to kill it off. So like I do, when I do the chemotherapy, I do with a technique that we call IPT. I send the chemotherapy selectively to the cancer cells, not to the healthy cells.
Mm-hmm.
And we apply only 10% of the normal amount. For example, if a patient needs, for example, chemotherapy like algamycin or cytoxin, the patient needs like a 1,000 milligrams. To my patient, only do 10%. I apply only 10 milligrams,
okay,
of the amount. But I combine the low dose of chemo with sugar. Why with sugar? Because cancer likes sugar, because they ferment. And also I add insulin, because the insulin will drive the sugar to the cancer cell.
Oh.
When we apply to the patient this combination, the tumor immediately changes. They say, oh, I feel the sugar, they change the environment, they change the pH, you know, they stop to ferment and they grab the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
When they grab the sugar in it, they will get the chemo too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hope, boom, we explode the cancer cell.
Mm-hmm.
After the chemo, like we do cough, we do techniques, natural remedies to remove the chemotherapy or radiation out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
We use techniques like a green cabbage poultice. And the green cabbage, it has a compound like alpha-glucose to remove or suck the chemotherapy or radiation from the skin.
Oh.
Also, we do a technique with a bath that we use, you know, bath therapy to remove chemicals, ginger, baking soda, and sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
So the patient goes through that and from the skin remove the chemotherapy or the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we apply an IV that we call AGTA. You know, like a chelation.
Mm-hmm.
The chelation removes chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
But when we use the chemo, they want to produce free radicals in the body, and we need to remove it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the chelation does. And about radiation, is, for example, if the patient has like a breast cancer, and this breast cancer moves, spread to the bone, and they have a risk to have a fracture, a pathologic fracture, we use the radiation, but also we use in 10% of the normal amount. Normal radiation for breast, for example, is 5,000 rads. We use only 500 rads.
Mm-hmm.
Same procedure. After the radiation, we use the cabbage. After the cabbage, we do the bath and the chelation, and the patient don't have any side effect.
Mm-hmm.
With the radiation and with the chemo, we are going to drop the cancer cells, and now the vaccine will have more chance to go and kill it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds then like that this will work on all kinds of cancer. Is that right?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of cancer. Could be a sarcoma, adenosarcoma, Paget, a brain tumor like a glioblastoma, astrocytomas, lymphomas, Hodgkin's. They respond very well. We have right now, you know, in this year, you know, I mean, you know, in my hospital came like a cycle of patients, you know, came like a, for example, came pancreatic cancer,
mm-hmm.
or lung cancer, brain tumor. I have right now a patient with pancreas cancer who spread to the liver and retroperitoneal, boom, immediately, you know, we have this patient in remission.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well because they are in remission. You know, and when they are remission, they stop it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The tumor marking, like a CA99 drop, and the patient tends to feel very well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this vaccine response, in combination with the chemo, radiation, herbs, detox, respond excellent.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about your treatment, Geronimo?
Yes. You know, Kirk, in combination, you know, always, you know, the program I do is like an integrative therapy,
mm-hmm.
like an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So we do like the vaccine, the chemo, radiation. We use the detox.
Mm-hmm.
Detox is very important because when we kill cancer cells, we need to use our waste organs to flush or eliminate the dead cancer cells out,
mm-hmm.
not make us like an auto-intoxication.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we have techniques like, you know, a lot of doctors work with enemas or colemas. I do enemas
mm-hmm.
to cleanse the colon and use the purpose Also, I use enemas like shark cartilage part.
Mm-hmm.
The shark cartilage in enemas is the same like does the abasting, the chemotherapy. It stops the blood vessel.
Oh.
Okay, and we stop the tumor to grow. Also, we use colostrum, and colostrum is very good for any cancer in the digestive tract because it has a gamma-globin
mm-hmm.
A. Mm-hmm. So it's very strong, you know, for the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we use, I've been working with a mushroom, you know, it's a shiitake.
Mm-hmm.
And the shiitake mushroom, you know, you can get the beta-glucan-3 or the polysaccharide. It's very good to enhance the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
In combination with that, we use different herbs too, and the herbs that we work, like we use like a ECST, like a candurango, lapacho, we use graviola, artemisa, they work very good against the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we use carb, in the problem of chemotherapy non-toxic, or I call non-toxic medications for cancer. And we have more like a 25, and one of the most new ones and very effective is poly-MBA. Poly-MBA has palladium, and the palladium has, is very effective to stop cancer. And also we use B17, we use Oncotax, 17-14X, all the non-toxic medication in combination we apply.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, we work with the patient with oxygen. And we make the patient to raise the oxygen level to stop the cancer to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another detox, very important, the food bath. You know, the food bath is important because we do in combination with the enemas, with the bath, and the food bath, we cleanse the body more easily. And I've been working in some patients with a rice machine cart.
Mm-hmm.
The rice machine is a machine that make frequencies to destroy the cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
I combine the rice with radiation, it's very effective.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a combination of the program that I do
right.
for the patient.
Mm-hmm. I used the B17 when I had lung cancer 33
Perfect.
Years ago.
Perfect. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Now, how...
I've been using it for a long time. Is one of, we call my, like a little horse, you know, my little horse medicine, because it's like a horse.
Right, right.
In combination with the problem, yes, and we keep it and keep it in good check.
Right, yeah. How can interested listeners then reach you, Geronimo?
Okay. You know, the name of my hospital card is Rubio Cancer Center.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you my 1-800. It's 1-866-519-9960.
Great.
Okay, this is my toll-free number. You can call me. Any questions you have or any members of the family that can need some help, they can call.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Geronimo. It's been very interesting, and I thought that Carolyn did a nice job of presenting it in her book, and that was why I was really interested after I read about it, because I didn't know about this treatment before.
You know, Carly is my advocate patient, you know, and
right.
And very good, you know, she's doing very, very well, and you know, she's like a little aunt, you know, working all the time.
Right, right. Well, I thank you very much.
Okay, Carly, you're welcome. You have any other waiting for you like to do another lecture or talk to you in the future, please talk to Caroline and I will do a lecture. Okay?
That would be great.
My next guest was Dr. Rubio's patient,
Carolyn Gross, who was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in 2003. She is a speaker, facilitator, patient advocate, and author of 2 books, Staying Calm in the Midst of Chaos, and Treatable and Beatable, Healing Cancer Without Surgery. She was host of the Inspire Talk Radio Show and formerly a craniosacral therapist. Her clients have included the Betty Ford Center, Hilton Hotels, and Scripps Health Foundation, among others. More information is available at www.treatableandbeatable.com or www.carolyngross.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Carolyn, and I look forward to an interesting discussion with you.
I do too.
Thank you. Tell me first how you found out you had cancer and what factors you think caused it.
Well, I was having annual mammograms because both of my grandmothers had had breast cancer. However, the way that I discovered that I had cancer was I woke up in the middle of the night in a very awkward position, and my hand was at the base of my breast, right on the tumor.
Mm.
And so I really thought I was dreaming because I'm having this dream that my breast feels like a rock, and then slowly but surely I awakened to find out that I have indeed discovered a lump in mm-hmm. my breast. So it didn't even start out for me, Carl, the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
I then had to go to the medical community and tell them, I have a problem here, we have to do some tests,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than them finding and calling me and saying something looks abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be proactive right at the get-go.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think caused the tumor?
Well, that's always a great question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As if we could have some kind of crystal ball that would let us know, because I was already a health advocate. I was working as a cranial sacral therapist,
mm-hmm.
and I was already practicing a clean diet and a clean lifestyle without alcohol or tobacco or any kind of drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I know is probably stress.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can really say, yeah, guilty, you know, taking on too many clients, taking on too much of their stuff and not setting good boundaries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of breast cancer women eventually feel like we carry part of the weight of the world on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of us are women that people feel they can go to and, you know, kind of just either get us to do things or to bring their problems to us. I've met this over and over again with
mm-hmm.
breast cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you had breast cancer, and what was your prognosis?
Well, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and initially I was given actually no choice but
mm-hmm.
a complete mastectomy
mm-hmm.
with full courses of chemotherapy and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
I never did get to find out what full courses meant. I instinctively felt like, you know, I think I can beat cancer, but I'm also kind of feeling like this treatment might kill me.
Mm-hmm. So what was your treatment regime?
Well, because I was given, quote unquote, no other option but a complete mastectomy when my husband was begging the surgeon, can't we maybe shrink the tumor first
mm-hmm.
and then maybe do a lumpectomy, I had to go elsewhere. I'd been studying and dabbling in alternative and natural healing for years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to save my breast, which really became something important to me, because as a cranial sacral therapist, one of my mantras when I was working with my clients was they would come in pain, and it seemed like a lot of times surgical solutions were being offered. And I would say to them, hey, that's fine, but make surgery your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that mantra for 10 years, you can imagine that when I'm only given one choice but a mastectomy,
right.
I come home, I take off my top, try to imagine what I'm going to look like with just one breast, and that
or maybe none.
Or maybe none, thank you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden that mantra comes to me, make surgery your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
So I realize I've got to go find something, if it's out there, that's non-surgical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I did research and found immunotherapy
mm-hmm.
and a cancer vaccine. And the cancer vaccine was designed to educate my own immune system to do two things, weaken the cancer cells and then boost up and educate the killer T and the B cells so they would know we've got a problem on board ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a cancer vaccine in 2003 and healed stage 3 breast cancer without any, and I have to almost underline that, any surgery, no lumpectomy,
mm-hmm.
no little slice or dice taken anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you use any mental, spiritual activities?
From the get-go, all throughout, psychoneuroimmunology. I'm sure you talk about that on your show. Very important for the brain, psycho, to dictate to the nervous system, neuroimmunology, immune system, that we can indeed beat cancer. Because that was the mindset. I had to have that mindset. Remember I told you initially my inkling was, I think I can beat cancer, but this treatment feels like it might kill me.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you use some spiritual? Are you into prayer, meditation?
Absolutely, and for years. You know, again, I don't think anybody does hands-on work and healing work mm-hmm. with others that don't have some type of a meditative practice, yoga mm-hmm. practice, Tai Chi, Qigong, there's all different practices out there.
Right, right.
So I had, of course, been trying to quell my own storms of duality, shall we say, and have a connection of peace to the source.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been a quest for years for me.
Right.
What I can say about cancer is that the cancer experience,
mm-hmm.
I call it an experience.
Mm. That's good.
And that right away shifts the mindset. But in the cancer experience, I found that I had to really go further and deeper in my spiritual quest, and I bet that's something you find with everybody,
right,
isn't it, girl?
Right, right.
We deepen. Well, and you know, you asked me what I thought my factor was, and I said stress.
Mm-hmm.
So what do these, if you want, you know, spiritual pursuits of prayer and meditation and
mm-hmm.
also kind works,
mm-hmm.
what do these activities do for us? They de-stress us. They calm us. They make
right.
us more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So therein lies your healing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yep.
And which of these interventions do you continue at this point?
All of the above.
Oh, yeah, good.
I mean, I do yoga. I've had a practice for probably 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely attempt to meditate every day, and I would say I'm almost there.
Mm-hmm.
6 out of 7 ain't bad.
Right, right.
And then I also take calls from cancer patients from all over the country and all different cancers. I don't just work with breast cancer
mm-hmm.
because immunotherapy and the treatment that I have
mm-hmm.
is successful with all different cancers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying 100% successful, but I'm saying if there's success with all different types of cancers.
Right.
So I have to pray for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, my prayer list has at least doubled, if not tripled, since I got into patient advocacy. Wouldn't you agree?
But that's good.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that many people need the experience of going through this, but it's good that they have a support system somewhere.
Exactly.
And a support system that looks at this in the way that you look at, like, for example, when I had lung cancer 33 years ago, my mother said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do, which was surgery and chemotherapy, and then you can do these other things. My colleagues on the nursing faculty wouldn't talk to me about anything, and so I didn't have as big a support system as I should have maybe had, but I had one dear friend in my Search for God group that supported me 100% and was available round the clock if I needed to talk with someone. So the support is very good. So it's good that you're there for a lot of people around the country.
Well, and look at how ahead of your time you were. I mean, 33 years, my hat is off to you. So what a blessing for me this morning to be on the line with you and hear you've survived 33 years, because I don't think we appreciate how every time we pick up something that says this is fatal, or we get some type of bad news from
right.
the doctor,
right.
how deeply that goes in cellularly.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I talked with the person that was so supportive of me during this whole process recently, and we were talking about all of the changes coming about in the world.
Yes.
And how we're moving toward 2012, which I
yes.
see as a period of enlightenment, not
uh-huh.
the end of the world, but the end of the world of money, greed, power, and so forth, and
right.
a world that will be filled with people who are concerned about other people. And
yes.
she said, as others have said, and before you can bring in the new, you have to get rid of the old. And that is what is happening now. And then she said, which was a shock to me, you were one of the people helping to bring in the new. Because she said when you had cancer 33 years ago, you were talking about alternative ways of dealing with this. And she said this bringing in the new is in every field, not just the political, the social and all, but it's every field of endeavor. So I hadn't thought of it in that way before.
Well, again, it's just like 33 years ago. Oh, my goodness. I mean, even 6 years ago, I had people looking at me like I was green when I told
right.
them that I
right.
wasn't going to have a mastectomy. I can only imagine,
mm-hmm.
especially you being in the field of
right.
nursing, when
mm-hmm.
people were looking at you and thinking, you're educated and you're doing what?
Right. Right.
So congratulations.
Right. Do you have some final statements for the public in terms of cancer that you would like to make, Carolyn?
Absolutely. I think that people have to continue to do research on ways to build their immune system once the treatment is over, no matter what the treatment is that they choose.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that surgery is the best resort for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of what you're in alignment with.
Right.
And so
right.
that's why when I talk to patients, I tell them, you've got to claim your power. Remember how I described the surgeon as almost the dictator
right.
on that
right.
first meeting?
Mm-hmm.
That's not appropriate. I mean, at the best, it's a team sport,
right.
you know, healing.
Mm-hmm.
You're a team member with your doctor. You're inside the body. He's not.
Right.
So you have to be giving that constant feedback. It's like a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so besides that, I think you have to have practices like, do you do things like ionic foot baths and
mm-hmm.
having rituals where you're detoxifying the large major organs of the body of
mm-hmm.
elimination,
mm-hmm.
the skin, the colon, the kidneys, the bladder. These are the ways that we get rid of waste and pollution in our body.
Right, right.
And I even have done research, which I'd love to tell your listeners about, just to find out what are the best products. So my website is treatable and spelled out beatable.com.
Mm-hmm.
Treatable and beatable. And I've done research. Like, if people don't know what an ionic foot bath is, I've already found out the best in the country is Aqua Detox,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. So those kind of resources
mm-hmm.
are on my website. My
mm-hmm.
doctor who uses immunotherapy, his cancer center's on my website. And again, just things like organic foods are paramount. So I do encourage
mm-hmm.
people to continue to be, one thing is this, once you've been through cancer, you know this. You have to be vigilant about your health.
Right.
That's the red road you're now on.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to connect with like-minded people, and that's why it's a pleasure to be with you today. I also
mm-hmm.
have a toll-free number I can throw out.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's 1-866-246-0462. And I have teleseminar programs for survivors. The recent cancer wellness program is called Born to be Healthy. What do you think? Is that a statement?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I appreciate this very much, Carolyn, and I am happy that you were able to come and talk with me today.
We will finish the cancer series with a repeat segment of a model of cancer care
that integrates traditional with alternative and thus offers not only cutting-edge surgery and chemotherapy, but also nutrition, yoga, meditation, and other mind-body-spirit interventions in one site. My guest is Dr. Adam Perlman, who received his medical degree at Boston University School of Medicine and his Master's of Public Health
at Boston University School of Public Health. He is Director of Integrative Medicine for the St. Barnabas Healthcare System and Medical Director for the Carroll and Morton Ziegler Center for Integrative Medicine in Livingston, New Jersey. He developed and oversees the complementary and alternative medicine programs that include both the Integrative Medical Center and the Center for Health and Wellness. His clinical practice focuses primarily on general wellness, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, and cancer. In 2002, he became executive director for the Institute for Complementary and Alternative Medicine at the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, where he is now an assistant professor of medicine. In 2004, he was named the endowed professor of complementary and alternative medicine at the same university. And in 2000, he was recognized by his peers at St. Barnabas with the Excellence in Caring Award. His scholarly activities include numerous grants and publications, including book chapters on arthritis, and he is currently the principal investigator of 4 funded projects. He was guest editor of the Complementary and Alternative Medicine volume of Medical Clinics of North America and is associate editor for Complementary and Alternative Medicine section of the Physician Information and Education resource that was developed by the American College of Physicians and American Society for Internal Medicine. He is a father of 5 children and a 5th degree black belt, and also an instructor in martial arts.
I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Adam, and I look forward to learning more about cancer care at the Ziegler Center for Integrative Medicine.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Adam. First, I understand that you are the founding medical director of the Ziegler Center of Integrative Medicine. Can you tell us about the history of the center and how it was established?
Sure. Well, originally, and this would be probably about 12 or 13 years ago, Carol and Morton Ziegler, who were sort of Board of Trustee members at St. Barnabas Medical Center, were interested, due to some personal experiences with integrative medicine and complementary medicine, in seeing the medical center develop a program where we could provide these services. And in 1998, I guess it was, I was recruited to develop an integrative medical center. And I think, you know, back then, there were not a lot of examples of departments or programs or centers within medical centers, mm-hmm. within academic medical centers that actually provided alternative medicine on some level, mm-hmm. acupuncture, massage, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was certainly some trepidation on the part of the healthcare system, the medical center, but I was fortunate enough to be hired to put that program together. And really the focus from the beginning was on trying to really integrate mm-hmm. the center and the services into the conventional medical settings. So we actually have a integrative medicine center now, the Ziegler Center, as you mentioned, that is within our large St. Barnabas Ambulatory Care Center in Livingston, New Jersey, and it's a state-of-the-art, you know, ambulatory care center with an outpatient surgical center and a breast center and a number of specialty clinics and typical but, you know, really quite exquisite ambulatory care center where we, along with all those services, pain mm-hmm. center, we also have now for the last over 10 years this integrative center where we provide a number of services.
Mm-hmm. So how would a cancer patient benefit from coming to the Ziegler Center?
Well, again, our approach, which is really an integrative medical approach, so we're looking to combine the best of conventional medicine with the best of non-conventional or complementary medicine. Our approach is to work closely with the other healthcare providers, physicians, other healthcare providers, in this case oncologists perhaps, and others mm-hmm. that are working with the patient, and really try to support the patient typically while they're undergoing conventional treatment. I mean, I think we certainly see 3 different categories that, you know, of patients related to cancer. One is those looking to prevent the development of cancer. The other is those who are actively undergoing treatment for cancer, and mm-hmm. then We also see a fair amount of patients who have sort of finished treatment and want to remain cancer-free. So, you know, the approach may vary a little bit depending on, obviously, the patient, but what stage they're at or what their particular goals are. But in general, we provide a number of different services.
Mm-hmm.
I do what is sort of referred to as an integrative medicine consultation, where I'll look at really six main areas. I mean, I'll look at conventional care, but also coupled with appropriate nutrition, and we have a number of nutritionists we work with that are within the center, appropriate exercise. We have a medical fitness center within the building that is requires a doctor's clearance, so it's more medically oriented. It's not about pumping iron. It's for people that really have maybe some medical limitations, and
mm-hmm.
so it's less intimidating and really an educated staff that knows how to design appropriate exercise programs. But I also focus on, obviously, complementary and alternative medicine that may be appropriate. And for cancer patients, that can be anything from acupuncture, which can be helpful for a number of symptoms, pain, nausea, fatigue, massage therapy for pain, stress management. We actually have a clinical herbalist who's a nurse herbalist who works with herbal medications, again, to control symptoms and to help to prevent or fight off cancer in addition to conventional treatment. We have mind-body medicine, clinical psychologist who's trained in cognitive behavioral therapy but also does visualization, relaxation, biofeedback, those sorts of mind-body interventions.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of overlaps with another area of the six, which would be emotional stress management. You know, that's a critical component for
mm-hmm.
anyone who's dealing with any medical condition, certainly chronic and certainly potentially life-threatening. So trying to aggressively address sort of those issues. And then finally, as a part of an integrative approach, the issue of spirituality is something that also
mm-hmm.
I'll address with my patients. And I think often sort of say that need not necessarily come through religion. I think that's wonderful if people get a sense of spirituality and are connected through their religion, but one need not be overly religious or even affiliated with any particular religion to still have a sense of purpose and meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're dealing with a serious, potentially life-threatening illness, something like cancer, you need a sense of purpose and meaning. And if you don't have a good handle on that, it's difficult to remember why you should get out of bed every day and why you should potentially undergo all these treatments that may make you sick before they make you better. So all of these components would go into sort of an initial consultation to try to determine, obviously based on what a patient's wishes are and whatnot, you know, a plan of care that's appropriate for them.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you have a multidisciplinary cancer wellness program?
We do. That was a program that we've put together. It was supported, sort of subsidized by donor Helen Beck, and basically what we've done is to try to package some of the services together, because at the core of it, everyone, just about everyone who's undergoing treatment for cancer
mm-hmm.
needs to be eating right, needs to be exercising, needs to be managing stress. And so what this program is it's a program where we offer nutritional counseling, exercise at the Center for Health and Wellness, stress management, in this case, primarily through massages, and then a yoga, but yoga that's taught specifically for people that may have particular needs or medical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Instructor's very tuned to that. So we've sort of kind of put that together as a place to begin for many
mm-hmm.
of our patients. Not all of our patients take advantage of that, but some, even some that don't want to go through the whole integrative consultation, might choose to just go directly to our sort of cancer wellness program as
mm-hmm.
a place to, you know, begin to find support for themselves as
mm-hmm.
they're dealing with all that they're dealing with.
I think it's wonderful that you have a holistic approach, because you don't see that all the time in other hospitals.
And I think that many hospitals are trying to offer services here and there. I think the key to what we're really working hard to do at our particular institution, I think others as well, is to really try and coordinate these services at many of the hospital-based programs. You don't necessarily have, for example, a physician that you could meet with
mm-hmm.
who can kind of look at the whole picture and
mm-hmm.
step back and look at issues of mind, body, and spirit and try to help coordinate that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have sort of programs kind of packaged together, and patients aren't sure what they should be doing or what direction they should be going. And so we really wanted to try to facilitate that. And from the beginning, what was important was that the services we provide are really a part of the way that we care for patients with cancer in this particular case, and not simply window dressing, not simply something that we wanted to be able to kind of put in a brochure or whatnot to help attract people to our medical center. So that's been the kind of goal from the beginning, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of it and to see it kind of grow from an idea to something that now is really serving our patients.
I like especially that the spiritual is a big part of this, because as a nurse, I have seen that lacking throughout the healthcare system going back many years.
That's a big part of an integrative approach to care in general, and I don't know how many of your listeners will be familiar with the term integrative medicine or integrative health, but I think it was originally coined by Andy Weil, and who's at University of Arizona and has a fellowship there in integrative medicine. This is sort of a health guru that I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with. But it really is a patient-centered approach to care where you're looking at issues of mind, body, and spirit with an openness to treatment options that come from other healing traditions. I think it's still taking an evidence-based approach and looking at where there is evidence to support various complementary modalities or where there may not be evidence, but really looking to try to incorporate appropriate modalities, but then also looking at the whole person, as I've said, considering issues of mind, body, and spirit. And this is really a growing interest within the conventional medical establishment. Certainly outside of conventional medicine, there are many providers, acupuncturists, holistic providers who are well ahead of the conventional medical establishment in recognizing the benefits of these treatments. But, you know, for example, there's now a consortium of academic health centers for integrative medicine. It's now made up of 44, you know, what I would say is leading academic health centers, everything from certainly our university here in New Jersey, UMDNJ, but, you know, Harvard, Yale, UCSF, Georgetown, Johns Hopkins, are all members of this consortium, all having programs within their conventional academic centers dedicated to integrative health. And I think that is a real change for the conventional system, and I think a very welcome change on the part of many patients.
I think that you have kind of covered philosophical approach to patients, but would you just reemphasize then your philosophical approach to treating patients?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Some of that did come out in what I've already said, but I guess the way I could probably answer that would be to sort of tell you and your listeners what I typically will tell a patient. Well, this may sound a little silly, but on some level, but obviously this is a bad thing by definition, and we wish it didn't happen, but it has, and now we need to deal with it. And how do we really beat it? And how do we beat it from, as we were saying, a more philosophical perspective? I mean, first of all, we beat it by getting that cancer out of your body and doing everything possible through both conventional and integrative or non-conventional approaches to kill the cancer, get it out, and make sure that it never comes back. But on a little bit more of a philosophical level, I think we beat it by trying to use this thing, which is bad by definition, to really create some good. And, you know, what good could come out of this? Well, first of all, if you are healthier than you ever were when you finished treatment, believe it, then you've really accomplished something and you've really beaten it. Healthier not only on a physical level, but healthier emotionally, healthier spiritually, perhaps relationships in your life are healthier and your life is healthier. Perhaps you have more balance in your life. Now, to do that, you need to step back and reassess issues like spirituality, like purpose and meaning and what's really important to you. You need to, if you aren't already, begin a program that strengthens you both physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. So that's where, you know, looking at exercising and eating properly and managing stress comes in. These are also things that you can do that are under your control. And for many patients who are dealing with chronic diseases or in particular cancer, one of the most difficult aspects of dealing with the condition is the lack of a sense of control. And, you know, again, what you put in your mouth, whether or not you exercise safely and to the best of your ability, not overdoing it, how you choose to manage stress, those are things that are within your control, can give you a heightened sense of control, and in that regard alone can be very therapeutic. So that's really become sort of the goal. Well, I've had many examples of patients that have really had a wonderful transition and healing process, and through the healing process have transitioned to a life that was much more balanced and much healthier, again, on a physical, emotional, spiritual level, than their life prior to their diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. What services are provided then at the Ziegler Center?
Well, specifically, I may have touched on most of them, but specifically we have myself as the medical director, so an integrative consultation. We have several acupuncturists. We have, again, several nutritionists. And, you know, we do sort of nutritional interventions, you know, specific diets. I've done some training in functional medicine, for example. But we also have a weight management program, and you know, we're usually not overly aggressive about weight management while a patient's undergoing treatment for cancer, but certainly as a part of a long-term strategy, you know, weight management is something that we have focused program on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of massage therapists who offer a number of different types of techniques. Again, all of your listeners may not be aware, but there are over 80 different types of therapeutic massage.
Oh.
So for some patients, the typical Swedish massage, the kind of rubbing and kneading and pounding, may be appropriate, but for others, other techniques, for example, we offer a technique called Traeger, which is a much more gentle technique and focuses more on breathing and other things.
Mm-hmm.
That may be more appropriate because of physical limitations, can't handle Swedish or a deeper type massage, or, you know, for other various reasons. So we offer a number of different types. I already mentioned, but we do have a psychologist, and as I mentioned, there's biofeedback.
Mm-hmm.
He makes relaxation tapes and teaches breathing techniques and visualization and progressive relaxation. We have a nurse who is a trained herbalist, clinical herbalist, and more botanical herbalist, not Chinese herbs, but North American, European herbs. She's excellent, trained with some of the top herbalists in the country, perhaps the world, David Winston, for example. And given her nursing background, is also an expert on sort of drug-herb interactions and making sure to avoid those sorts of things, so we can offer that level of counseling. We have other sort of programs. So, you know, for example, as I mentioned, yoga and, you know, Tai Chi, some of those types of programs. And then finally, it's sort of a separate but kind of connected at the hip program is our Center for Health and Wellness, which is this medical fitness center that is primarily staffed by exercise physiologists who really are focused on designing safe and appropriate exercise programs for people who have medical conditions and limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I forgot anything. I think that's pretty much it.
Sounds great, Adam. And how would someone go about making an appointment or getting more information on your center?
Well, the two easiest ways would be to call, and I can give you the number. It's 973-322-7777. 007, or we do have a website, and you can certainly get information on the website, which I'm sure many of your listeners would find that convenient, and that would be the easiest to go to St. Barnabas's website. So it's www.saintbarnabas, and that's saintbarnabas.com, so just saintbarnabas.com, and then you'll find on that homepage there's a sort of a clinical services section, and then you sort of hit that drop-down menu, and you'll see integrative medicine. If they click on that, that will take them directly to the Ziegler Center site, and they can see more about the services we offer and other information about the center itself.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Adam?
No, I just thank you for providing me the opportunity to talk with you today. It's always a pleasure and an honor to speak about our center, you know, we've been doing this now for just about almost 11 years, and back then there wasn't a lot of centers opened. It's nice to see that more and more medical centers are recognizing the importance of integrative approach, and you know, we're very proud of the services that we provide to our patients and our healthcare system.
Well, thank you very much, Adam. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me tonight for the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com. On the next show, we will start a series on arthritis. I invite you to join us. Have a good night.